Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to October's Very Owned, a podcast about Drake with me, Dan, and Eric.
Hello.
And this is, I feel like I need to explain if you haven't been listening. We've been talking about Drake every single episode, every day.
Every day of October.
For an entire month. We had a lot of cool guests on over the last 30 episodes.
Who were some of your favorites?
I didn't really care for any of the guests that we had, if I'm being honest, but I just thought I had...
You're just being polite, right?
I'm being polite.
You're being polite. Yeah.
Some were okay.
Yeah, some were okay. Some were great.
Some were better, a little bit better than okay.
Yeah. I liked the one that wasn't you whenever they were speaking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Same. But, you know, we had these... No, I'm kidding. We had very good guests.
They were great. It was like kind of a public forum for Drake, kind of.
Come on and we say even had, your truth.
We even had callers call, you know.
My favorite one.
It's a great episode. It's a bunch of voicemails.
We just let people call in. We let you, the listener, call in and talk about Drake, and we just played them unedited.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one person volunteered their phone number. We did edit that out.
Yeah, we edited that out.
But otherwise, we just let it run. It was very, like... raw and real. Liked it. That was the best one because we had to do the least work on that one.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then if you've been listening to the last few episodes, sort of embarrassing, but we were told by people above us that things were in the work to have a very big guest on who is part of the namesake of this podcast, we'll say, and it didn't.
You might even say he is October's very own.
Yes, but for whatever reason, last minute did not come through.
Yeah, we don't know why.
So we had an opening for a guest and just kind of filled it, I guess.
So can we just say that we have a guest.
It's not who you're thinking.
It's not Drake.
It's not Drake. Sorry if you thought it was. I thought that maybe it would be.
We thought we could try to do a podcast.
Kind of the whole point of the podcast, that we could hang out with Drake.
Fucking talk to Drake.
But instead, we have Dan.
We have Dan
Meyer from
Vice.
He runs our equipment room.
This is Vice Equipment Room Manager. Dan Meyer.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey. Yep.
So, I'm really happy to be here.
Well, that makes one of us.
Okay.
You're not... No, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
You're not...
coming on.
Well, I'm Drake-like.
In what way are you Drake-like?
Name one way. I'm bigger than life. You know? I look like a dad from a distance with my paunch.
Yeah.
Right. I'm... generally sad. So, like, in some ways, I think I am like Drake.
You were the closest thing we could get to Drake.
That's not at all how we picked him.
Well, yeah. And
it's after six, and everybody went home, and Dan was the one person left.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also, like Drake, I'm always around.
Right.
Yeah. So I was
Drake is always around.
He's always around wherever he is, and I'm here. So it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if the viewers are upset, I'm sorry, but like, just think of this as the second best thing.
Probably the second best thing we could find.
Did you try Rihanna?
We put in an ask.
Did you try Rick Ross?
Oh, I didn't try
Rick
Ross.
Richard Ross. Well, Richard, I'm thinking that was probably
Freeway Rick Ross.
I emailed Rick Ross at football.com.
Org. It's org.
Org.
You probably got a Mailer Damon out of that one.
Son of a bitch.
Did you try Nicki Minaj?
Did this you is, were supposed to reach out to Nicki?
No, I what this is so stupid because like well, I thought we were going to come in here and I thought we were going to get to hang out with Drake for a little bit.
But we would know even I would know in the equipment room if Drake was coming. And like I knew it wasn't happening, so you're delusional.
Well, we were just
why?
Everybody knows when a celebrity's coming
we
to the
had
office.
Didn't we have somebody in the office today?
Yeah, actually, Ty Dolla $ign was here in the office.
So it's not that fucking crazy that Drake would have come to the fucking office. Like,
all right. Well, you bring up
has he ever come here before?
No.
Drake's never been here.
Never been
this
to
was going
to
be his first time.
Bieber almost came one time.
Yeah, he almost skateboarded. Yeah, he's Canadian.
And a skateboarder. Does Drake ever skateboard?
I don't know if Drake skateboards. I don't think so.
He's co-opted the style a little bit.
Yeah.
Dress.
But I don't think Drake's not. Drake has never held a skateboard. I'm gonna go on record and say that.
Holding one. Can I Google it?
Yeah, Google it. Let's see if Drake's.
So the viewers can see it too, right? Because that's how it works.
Because this is a visual podcast.
VP.
What a great consolation to not having to hear Drake is you get to hear Dan Meyer Google.
The good thing though about Drake, and as I've been learning, listening to him in preparation for this,
right? You prepared for this?
Yeah. Well, I listened to Take Care yesterday.
Take Care. Yeah. Was this the first time you listened to Drake?
Well, no.
Purposefully?
So, yeah, it was the first time I'd ever like chosen to listen to Drake
and
listen to a full album attentively. Like I'd heard the radio song. Okay, full disclosure, the only songs I could have told you about were Hotline Bling and Controller.
Yeah.
Because I had a girlfriend when those songs were coming out that really liked him. And so she was like, listen to these. And then I was like, because it was like they came out one after another, right?
Right.
So I heard them, and she's like, this is the cool stuff. And then I was like, then I would hear it in cars, like Ubers, or in a bodega.
Yeah.
Like not the whole song ever.
And did those do anything for you, what you heard?
It would be not stuff I liked. And
you didn't like Hotline Bling? Hotline Bling? Who didn't like Hotline Bling?
I liked the sample, and I know, you know, yeah. I knew I had heard that before somehow, what he used. And then like I was like, oh, it's kind of like a worse version. But again, I'm trying to be open-minded about all of this as I'm going into it. But I was going to say, had Drake been on the show, and the main thing I noticed is that he talks through his nose and his head. He talks with his head. He doesn't ever sing, like use his chest or his lungs.
It's always... It's
a nasally. So if... Oh, but I guess if the Drake fans are listening, they like nasally things. So I could talk in my nasal for the rest of the show, and it'd be
I was watching
Drake SNL skits today.
Oh, yeah?
And
they're pretty good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're good. There's that one where he was on Weekend Update with that guy, Jay Farrow, who I don't think he's on the show anymore, but he does all the impressions.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, actually, man, you're not really talking like me. He's like, no, man, I talk just like you. And he's like, no, you don't. And he's like, say yeah, man. And he's like, yeah, man. And he's like,
they're like impersonating each other.
Yeah,
So the nasal thing isn't like a revelation.
No, people know that's his style.
Yeah.
Do other rappers or musicians peg him for that? Like, do they make fun of him, or is it
like
just a style?
No, I think it's just a style.
And they're like, he sings in his head.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's like coming at Drake for sounding nasally. They come at him for sounding like soft, and I guess you could
say that
his like sing-songy approach is bad, or kids criticized for
that.
But
it's not tough.
But yeah, right.
And rap is often a place for exposing how tough you are.
Traditionally, the genre has been that. But that's actually, we actually talked about that on the last
episode.
Did you
listen to any of the episodes of this podcast?
No.
Jesus Christ.
Why would I? I mean, come on. Like, this is like one of the, I mean, I'm going to be clear, and I think maybe part of the reason you brought me on is because Drake is not within my interest circle.
Can paint the interest circle for our listeners.
What would you describe as being in the circle of Dan Myers' interest?
Well, I mean, I grew up listening to punk music, you know, at a very young age, was given like the history of Western, or the decline of Western civilization as like my kind of, here's your first tape. And then like went into the roots of punk, like was just listening to the basics, like, you know, Sex Pistols, Clash, Ramones, Misfits. Took a real liking to the Misfits and then went down through that sort of lineage of, you know, melodic punk into hardcore. And then, like, as hardcore started to get more tough guy in my friend circle, I kind of took the indie route. Like, you know, a lot of the punks would kind of split. Like, the skateboarding punks were like, you're either going to go straight tough guy or you go, like, indie. And, like, I kind of joined, like, the indie camp, like, into, like, Fugazi territory towards, like, even weirder stuff into, like, Modest Mouse and then Blonde Redhead and Built to Spill and then the older, you know, 90s indie Pixies and everything. And then to the point where, like, my friends were playing, like, Madball in the car and I would be listening to Belle and Sebastian.
Right.
But what's in your interest circle now?
So a lot of that. And then... Mm-hmm. And then into country music.
Well, not even American. Music. Not even music. Like, what's in your circle
like
of interest?
Oh, I like skateboarding, whiskey, and breaking things, and, like, tripping out and, like, looking at psychedelic shit. Basically, like, a heavily, like, sort of, like, druggy lifestyle.
I don't think this is Drake's. I don't think this is his interest circle at all.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. So, like, I listened to Take Care last night for the first time, and I think I tried to count the amount of times he complains about being drunk. And I'm, like, confused. It's like, he's always acting as if he's, like, upset to have gotten drunk. And I'm like, well, then why did you drink? Like, that's the point of it. And yeah. You achieved your goal.
And then
now you're upset. I'm drunk again. You know, I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, you drank it. And, like, I like music where they're like, I'm drunk. Like, yeah, you know, like, they get psyched on it. So that's kind of one of my confusions. Like, does he have a problem?
Yeah.
Does he need help? Is this something you guys have been talking about? He's a cry for help.
I was thinking about this today, actually, and because I've been just reflecting on whether or not I like Drake at this point.
Yeah.
And I actually think I like him a lot more than when we started. And I actually am very impressed that he stayed this normal, considering. You look at Justin Bieber lately, and you're like, I mean, Justin...
He's gone.
And you can't even really say that, like, oh, Justin took off younger. I mean, certainly he was a much bigger celebrity as a kid, but Drake was, like, always on TV as a teenager. Like, he was in Degrassi, as we talked about in one episode. You know, so he was always a public person.
He is a child star. Right?
He didn't have, like, he wasn't the most famous 15-year-old in the world like Justin Bieber was. But, you know, he still
he's
was
gone
public
that.
Young.
Right.
And so I think considering, it's amazing how normal he is.
100%. Well, I think that Justin likes to get fucked up. And, like I don't think Drake does.
You don't think Drake likes to get fucked up?
No, and I think he maybe says, oh, I'm drunk again. Or, like, he kind of pretends to be this, like, club celebrity bottle service guy. But, like I wrote one of my notes. It was, like, he's talking about alcohol a lot, but he's never looked drunk.
Well, you
never
should check out
a photo of him, and you see, like, him, like, popping bottles, but you never really see him drinking.
It's the same with weed. By the way, I just want to mention.
Oh yeah, you wrote an article.
We
that
did.
He doesn't know.
We did
an episode with Krishna,
and yeah. I want to mention too. We did an episode recently this week about Drake's bar mitzvah. Drake had a 31st birthday last night or two nights ago.
Oh, he's very young.
He's he had a bar mitzvah party. It was like his
13th. That's really stupid.
And I forgot to even mention that a very nice...
That's just not even a part of any tradition.
A very nice sleuth on the internet. Instagram DM'd me with a boomerang of him, like, taking a hit of a joint. And it was kind of the same thing we were talking about, where it was just a very quick non-hit. And maybe it's the same thing with drinking.
Well, I think it is,
yeah,
and
fine.
I think...
It's fine. No. He knows his limits.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Maybe he shouldn't be co-opting, like, the fucked up lifestyle if he's not actually living it.
Right, and that...
It's appropriation.
I mean,
Well,
and without representation.
Well, and this is interesting. So on the weed episode,
you know what would have been fucking great if we could have just asked him if
it would have been good
here,
if he was here. We'd be like, hey,
Dan,
Drake, do
no
you
offense,
want?
Dan,
no, I'm
we could just fucking ask
and clairvoyant
him.
And somewhat psychic, so I can channel a lot. Right. Of
yeah,
things.
He's channeling.
Yeah.
But I said this on the Kid Does Drake Know How to Smoke Weed podcast, where I said there's only two references to Drake smoking weed in his music, and I was actually wrong. There's a couple more, but I forgot about this one. I actually wanted to make a point where it's on a song called Both that he put on Gucci Mane's mixtape that he put out last year.
So it was like the both of them.
Well, the song is called Both, and it's like it's about being like drunk and high, mm-hmm. and
so
the hook,
drunk and high.
Yeah,
it's not both me and my mom.
No. But the hook is, I don't usually do this unless I'm drunk or I'm high, but I'm both right now. Got me talking about life. And it's, and like,
see, that's not, it's so childish.
No, well, see, and that's what I mean thing. Where it was like, it's like, this is a perfect example of like Drake just acting like a certain way, and just like he, you know, it's like he's so performative. He's definitely like, we're drinking beers right now, and if he had like two of them, if he was here, if he wouldn't have been a coward and came on the podcast, well, he had two
shots fired. I wouldn't call him a coward.
But I'm just saying.
Well, here, think about
if he had two beers, he'd be like,
oh, still
I'm
welcome to come
I'm
on.
I'm fucked up. Yeah, if Drake, if you
we'll still come on and make a special.
Yeah, if you want to come back, we'll do a special edition of October's Very Own.
So you know what is interesting? If you look at like a lot of sort of that American lineage of like rock music from the 70s and 80s, like Jackson Browne, Warren Zevon, The Band, Allman Brothers, The Dead, even, like they're all Fleetwood Mac, like huge, huge heavy drug users and drinkers. But they always like sort of wrap it in a metaphor or an enigma. Like they'll like, it'll be like a Jackson Browne song about a woman named, like, I forget, it's on one of the, it's like, it's about like Marlene. But like Marlene is meth,
right?
So he's like singing about Marlene, and it's for the people who know to like put it together that Jackson Browne has like been doing meth on the road. And like, so like true users like don't talk about it. Like they're going to wrap it in a metaphor and kind of like be like, oh, people who have a coke problem will know that I'm talking about coke.
Yeah, because they know what coke is.
They know what coke is, but it's actually,
it
sounds like a song about Darlene, you know?
Right.
And like, whereas Drake is like actually just talking about being messed up in his head, and he's probably sober, but he's calling his head screw ups. He's blaming, like, he's like, whereas like one coke is Darlene, like Darlene is alcohol to Drake.
Well, I think this is like being a product of like iPhone generation, where you can't do anything that you don't Instagram. You know, it's the same thing. Like, Drake will not do anything just for the sake of doing it and enjoying it.
He's got to do everything with a purpose to show people about.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about with his Instagram. It's like, why is he Instagram storing his fucking furniture? Like, that's just for sitting on. Mm, you don't have to show the world that you have.
No, furniture is very interesting. Furniture is like, you're surrounded by it every day. There's levels of complexity within it. I mean, I'm not upset about that.
No, but
and it's not just something you sit on.
But I will say, though, I think Dan's point is not to come at the idea of furniture as like art or as something that could
furniture
be appreciated.
Furniture is absolutely an art.
Correct. But I think it's more like Drake probably doesn't.
Talk to Le Corbusier about
okay, this. Okay, all right. But like,
talk to Raymore and Flanagan. Yeah. Ever heard of them, buddy?
That is just furniture.
But like, Drake is probably not appreciating that, I think, and he's more just like being like, oh, look at this, like he's doing it for the Instagram story rather than the actual appreciation.
He's making himself relatable. I sit down too. See, now I'm apologizing for Drake.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I don't
see,
know how I become an apologist.
Yeah, you're a Drake apologist suddenly.
Just the furniture stuff, because that is within my shared interest circle of his.
You're a big furniture guy too.
Oh
wow, this is so
it.
Interesting. This is so much better than having actual
Drake.
Yeah.
No, I'm
well, I bet I'll go on record to say that I bet Dan Meyer has better opinions about furniture than Drake.
Yeah, I don't know. He has more money, so he might have more experience with higher end stuff. I've only looked at it in books and like gone to stores and tried it out.
Is that something you do a lot? Go to stores and just try out furniture a lot?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
What stores do you go to and do this?
I think the best one in New York is called Fresh Kills. They just moved down to Industry City. They're a great collector of mid-century and industrial furniture. Two Jakes was down the street for a long time. They were good.
You ever just go to IKEA?
No, I don't like IKEA.
Fuck IKEA.
This is not what we're here to talk about. I listened to Drake.
You listened to Take Care.
I listened to Take Care. So,
Dan asked me to give him a record to listen to, and I think that Take Care is Drake's opus, so I said
to it today also.
Oh, really?
I thought I was going to talk about.
You say the word opus, I want to take that word, and then I want to cut it in half.
Call it anus.
Okay?
I get you.
And then I want to add the letters EDI. In between the O and the puss.
Okay.
Oedipus.
Got it.
Okay.
I think the entire album is one massive declaration of him being obsessed and in love with his mother.
Do you think he knows it?
I don't know. And this is what I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I feel like I maybe like had a breakthrough listening to this. I was like, this is all about mommy issues, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was like very reflexive, the way he's talking to women as if he was their parent, but expecting nurturing. And I have like a lot of thoughts on this, but then like I heard his grandmother recording at the end of it that like almost confirmed it. And I was like, oh, this is not a breakthrough. This is just like a full on thing. Like, right. Is this what the album's about? Because all the like tracks, like Take Care, was it Proud of You?
Yeah.
Like Practice, look, you're doing it wrong.
Done.
Look what you've done. It's all things that like your mom or a parent would say to you. But he's saying it all to women. And there's also this like heavy level of abandonment. And I'm thinking like he wants all women to act like his mother, but then he's afraid they're going to leave. And he blames them. I don't. It's very
Eric, what,
complicated.
Do you know what Drake's relationship with his mom is like?
He's very good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I looked through. I went deep into his Instagram today. A lot of photos of his dad. I almost never see his mom.
Well, but his father, from what I was explaining, my roommate Billy, who seems to know a lot about these things, told me that Drake was pretty much raised and supported by his mother unconditionally. Yes. She got him into the business of fame, mm-hmm. and his father was somewhat absent.
Yeah.
In his life. And so he's like, he's almost like a single child.
Yeah, his parents divorced when he was like
five.
It's kind of
like Bieber, right?
Well, I don't know.
I thought his parents were together and like helped him become famous.
That I know his dad helped him.
His dad
Bieber's
sucks,
dad is like 20 years old. And, like,
yeah, he's basically younger than Justin Bieber. So he wears True Religion jeans.
Yeah.
Like this is Drake and his mom.
Oh, she looks like,
you know?
Like Barbara Streisand or
yeah,
something.
She does.
White.
Yeah, she
I
is.
Think it's worth
a Jewish
mentioning.
Lady. Yeah, Drake has mixed parents. Drake's father is black and his mother is white.
Okay, well, so
Catholic Jewish.
So I was listening to when did I have the vision? I had a vision during the song right after the Rick Ross song. Which
one is it? I'm gonna look that up.
I don't know if it's that relevant.
Is the one with Nikki?
No.
Is the one after Nikki? No.
You know who I bet would know is Drake.
If Drake was here, we could ask
him. Come on the podcast.
So it's after the Rick Ross song, which was Too Loud. But
Lord knows. That's a great song, produced by Just Blaze.
It was Too Loud. Actually, I thought if I had been in a Maybach, I would have gotten it, but my stereo wasn't.
Oh, this is, it's the camera's interlude.
Okay.
And then doing it wrong after that.
Yeah, so I had this vision, and I want you guys to sort of try to put yourself in this situation. Another thing that I noticed is that it's very... A lot of the music is very good for a dentist's office.
Right, yeah, that was like, something you mentioned.
It's calm and smooth, and when you're on nitrous oxide, it sounds cooler. So I was listening to this song, and I was like thinking, like imagining him very young, getting his teeth cleaned, because he's all about clean teeth and like looking clean. He's at a dentist, and they're like going to do some deep cleaning on him for his audition for Degrassi. And he's there and he's thinking about appearance and fame and like looking good for the camera and everything. And like they're putting him in a bunch of nitrous tank. He's inhaling nitrous and he's like looking at his mother. She's like backlit, standing over him in the dentist chair. And she's smiling and like proud of him for like being a good boy and like looking good. And he's hearing the dentist while the nitrous is setting in. He's looking at her smile and like be proud of him. And that's kind of like what the whole album sounds like, is like this vision of like a smiling mother while like a machine is whirring and you want to be famous.
I mean, I think that's a pretty good...
I think you're the first one to have that take.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've never heard this take about Drake's mother in regards to Take Care in particular. And yeah. I think...
Take Care, more like take care of your teeth. And dental care, more like...
Well, yeah, but I mean, he talks about looking good for the camera and appearances and being good. And it's like... I don't know. It feels very much like he's trying to impress someone and make them proud. But then there's that reflexive side where I think he's holding like the women in his life to a standard as if he were a father or something. Like it's a weird, he talks down to women a lot.
Yeah.
In a way that's like, you should behave this way. You should do this. And I think he's kind of trying to fill the hole of not having a father by like acting out these sort of paternal behaviors towards women. But then also expecting nurturing from them as if they're his mother.
So Drake is promoting the patriarchy.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Good girls, like, this is good, this is bad. Like, who is
you're
he to say? Saying you can't get married, don't get married. Like, it's not your choice, man. Mm. It's her choice.
My body, my choice.
Yeah, and, like, it feels like he, like, thinks he has every right. Like, controller is, like, they're not robots, dude. Like, they do whatever they want.
It's funny, too, because his I don't know if you got a chance to listen to More Life.
But no, I didn't like it at all, so I didn't want to listen anymore.
Fair enough. But I actually did not like the album.
I have to say it.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But it's fine.
It's all good. But the evolution of Drake from a lyrical standpoint, he hasn't really evolved since then. Like, that record came out 6 years ago now,
right?
Five, 6 years ago. And
I guess I should have listened to something more recent, because I actually was, one of my notes that I took while listening, I was like, I hope that there has been some evolution since this.
And I just burped into that word.
Works really good.
Yeah. Good thing Drake's not here.
Yeah, thank God.
Embarrassed. That's the fun of Drake.
But I think...
I'm wearing a tuxedo right now. Yeah. I feel foolish. Straight up foolish.
Dan Ozzy wore a tuxedo.
Wanted to look good. I wanted to bring up one thing, though. Something where I feel like maybe you and Drake would have something in common is that Drake, has lines of clothing. We were out recently, and you guys had an idea for a line of clothing.
We didn't finish discussing the... You want to go a hard left onto a different avenue here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
My thing, I didn't get any insight in return. So if you guys want to hit me up on Twitter or YouTube and let me know if you think I was right, my email address is eric.sunderman with two N's at vice.com.
Yeah, that's Dan's. That's Dan's. Right.
It's my email address.
Email address.
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to tell me your thoughts on Drake,
email.
Hit me up, HMU.
Yeah,
ASLHMU IRL.
IRL.
Okay.
No,
so
I think that, I will say.
Well, I'm just trying to shift a little bit. We can get back to the music, but I'm just trying to. I'm very bummed that Drake is not here.
So I'm trying to just cover.
These are the questions I would have asked Drake about his fashion line.
You would have asked him about Cut by Cook?
I would know. Well, let's get to it. Eric, do you want to explain this idea for a clothing line that you two idiots had one night?
The viewers should know. We're going off the topic of Drake now, and we're going to talk about Dane Cook.
Yeah. So just FYI,
if you want to hit the little fast forward,
couple of months
ago.
Well,
wait, let's tie it together real quick, just for the viewer. So Drake and Dane Cook,
are very similar
in the fact that they get on stage alone sometimes. So that's the connection,
and they appeal to like large pockets of America.
Yeah, they're
like really popular with frat boys.
Yes.
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 All right,
that's how we get
Dane Cook is definitely a Drake fan.
People don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Explain your clothing line that you two idiots came up with. Just to set the scene, I walked into a party, and these two idiots are in the backyard of this bar, and they're like, we got this idea.
Yeah.
$1 million idea.
Pretty good idea. And if you're interested in this, we are still taking investors.
Well, yeah. Well, no, we have money.
I thought you were going to say substances, because you were taking substances.
No, not today. So Cut by Cook. If you know Dane Cook, you know how he looks.
Yeah.
And if you like Dane Cook, you want to look like him. So the guy's got bootcut jeans in spades. And he's made the whole boot cut thing pretty cool. And it only makes sense that he should have his own line of clothing.
Yeah.
Called Cut by Cook.
Cut by Cook.
Which is going to be Dane's apparel for you.
And it's all...
It's his style.
It's kind of like...
Like a leather shirt. Kind of like a black leather shirt.
Yeah.
It's a little bit thread worn.
It's a little worn because it's like a working man.
It's looser.
It's a working
like
man.
Maybe wear a jet pilot
like
for a while.
An everyday kind of guy.
You sound like Step Brothers when they're pitching their karaoke. It's an everyday
kind of guy who's been through a lot. And is
but he's
tough.
Still he's sophisticated.
Tough.
He reads.
Yeah. Reads GQ.
Yeah.
But also wipes his ass with it. Because he doesn't need anyone telling him what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
From the floor up.
We got the boots are chunky leathers.
Like,
and these motherfuckers are not tied.
I think
because I just rolled out of bed and threw them on.
Yeah, okay. That's how my.
Well,
hair
I imagine
looks
them kind of like a slide on boot.
Yeah, kind of like a like a boot that's not meant to be tied. Mm-hmm. You can hop it on there and then the jeans are kind of like over them, but kind of tucked in, kind of not
distressed.
You're totally distressed.
Yeah, there might be a hole. There might be a hole.
Oh, there's some holes,
a little
like
gingerly rip.
Yeah,
just from when you had to bend over and pick up the stuff. You know.
And then I think the next part's the most important.
Low cut,
but like a belt
big
buckle.
Big chunky belt buckle.
Because you want to be hooking your thumb on it a lot.
Yeah, you gotta hook your thumb
when you're telling your jokes.
Show you that little muscle. Right.
And
then right there it says underneath, like right on the pocket, you know?
Cut
like
where by
it just says cut by cook.
But then some of it is just like a line of, it's just like a picture of like a knife.
Cut by cook.
Right. Well, it's like a knife, like cut.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't it obviously you be know the logo it. That he does, the hand?
Yeah,
thing,
no, we're trying to get away from that.
Okay.
We're
rebranding
cut
by
cook.
I don't
know that he uses cook. That so no, much anymore. Like
you know, actually, the funny thing is
thing?
I did some.
And then you're probably wearing a Billabong shirt.
No, no, no. It's a U.S. Army shirt. It's like, it just says Army.
Oh yeah, good.
And
point.
It's so worn through that you can almost see
like threadbare.
Through it. Yeah, yeah. And it's, like, it's especially ripped at the bottom.
Yeah.
And is that cut by cook too?
Yeah,
is
the shirt,
oh okay.
Shirt, jacket.
See, I think it's.
Hats.
I imagine
yeah.
it's like a Henley
floppy.
Shirt that kind of shows off like a little collarbone.
No. They're relaxed collar, thread worn vintage sort of military or maybe like Phillips 66 gas station.
And then sort of like a non-functional...
Like a Route 66.
Like a non-functional weather bracelet.
And not as many bracelets as Johnny Depp would wear, but like on that route.
One
you know,
thick,
like how Johnny Depp wears like 80 things. Like Dane might wear 2 or 3.
Yeah.
He might have a leather necklace
Do we
with
have
some
a necklace?
Beads.
There's definitely a leather necklace.
But it's not a lot. Not as many pieces.
It's like...
It's subtle, but it lets you know what's there.
Right. Yeah. Or like a big fossil watch.
Definitely a fossil
like
watch.
With a chunky, again, distressed leather band.
It's like... imagine it being the clothing, like being making love to Dane Cook.
Well,
like strong and
by.
Firm, but not too much.
No, being fucked selfishly by. You know? Like, you want to fuck the world the same way he wants to fuck your girl.
I think that... Drake would look good
in a cook look. Yeah.
cook look.
Well, because, he's got this whole getting made fun of for sweaters and dad apparel. Like, he could cool it up.
He could cool it up. He could call Dane Cook.
The whole thing.
Dress me.
The whole thing smells like the clothes have a scent that smells like
cashews.
What's that drink that had like that alcoholic drink that caffeine in it that got banned?
Four Loko.
Yeah, I have Four Loko.
I think it should be Sparks because he's a little bit older.
Sparks.
Definitely
I was gonna say
Sparks.
But then I was like, did I make that up?
No,
Sparks
is for the real heads
there. Yeah.
The real cook heads.
Shout out to the OCs and the punks.
Yeah. So like it kind of smells like Sparks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah.
He smells like Sparks and cologne.
And
you know
like,
what I think
and
we
like
should
a
do?
Hair pomade.
I mean this in 100 since like we should do...
No, gel. LA looks gel.
We should do...
LA looks gel.
Yeah, not pomade. That's like too biker.
It's too coobies.
Yeah.
This he is needs LA CBS, looks gel.
CVS.
Pulled back.
Maybe like some mousse.
But he's had it since he's been using the same shit since high school.
Yeah.
He won't change.
No, because it's like, why would you change? Like, I didn't change my shirt for 4 months. Why would I change my hair?
He just like
cut
went by gel.
Cook.
Yeah. He just...
I think we should do...
Cool guy on the street.
And I'm not kidding. We got to do... The next month-long podcast that we
about
do every
Dane
day
Cook.
Is going to be about Dane Cook.
But no, but here's the thing. So you guys need to do a little... So after we came up with this clothing line, I decided, like, I should maybe actually get to know who this guy is. Because I had heard him a bit and been like, this is bonkers.
Yeah.
But I looked him up, and he's pretty much blacklisted from, like, the whole industry.
Oh, really?
Because his brand of extreme... misogyny is like not cool at all anymore.
The
like, there was an era, I think he was like maybe ushered that era of comedy to the grave.
Was,
and
he
like,
just
you know, like
up.
In Goodfellas when they have it from the guy's perspective of the dirt being like poured on him in the grave. That's what Dane Cook saw like 4 years ago. Like
the
he
last
saw
I
his
saw
generation
of him was that appearance on Louie where he played himself.
Yeah, and they did like the joke stealer thing.
Yeah, and they like argued on the show. Like,
all right, so that might have been like a trying to save his career.
Yeah,
thing, but
it didn't really do.
Yeah,
much,
so like the extreme hardcore misogyny and like promoting rape culture thing Yeah. Is it flying?
That's mm-hmm. not really
for good.
To be fair, yeah. it did not fly back then. But for some reason,
no, it
people
flew.
Were like,
it sold like
yeah,
right. in crazy.
I mean,
Frat Boys bought the records and they
he,
liked
he
it.
He didn't. He played Madison Square yeah. Garden like multiple times, yeah. right? Like
so
sold
it flew,
the,
like what many specials.
Didn't he call his act like the Octagon or something like that?
yeah, he like, had it was like a, the, yeah, he was in the center and
yeah, and it was like he would
had
like,
his
talk
like
to
sex symbol.
He'd do like the fucking weird.
But so hold on, I thought this was a Drake podcast.
Okay, yeah, sorry. We also not. I just want to mention that you guys are doing this cut by cook thing, which I think is very good.
Yeah.
An upstart I'd like to get off the ground.
Well, I don't think you remember the conversation because actually you and I are the partners in this.
Yeah.
Dan Ozzie
and I think
I
came into this.
Annalise is a 50% owner and you and I are
at her birthday party.
Yeah, it was her idea. It was our idea at her birthday party. So mm-hmm. it was a gift to her. She gets 50% of the business. And then you, Dan Ozzie, have 25 and I have 25.
Oh, sweet. So then what do I have?
You're just a part of it.
Okay,
you're
silent,
just like a
silent partner.
Side guy.
Wait, so but you, I'm giving you an opportunity to get in 50% of my business, which is like Cut by Cook, but it's cooked by Cut, and it's just meals prepared by NFL superstar Jay Cutler.
Right, and they're meals that are explained. This is our business. I'm with you on this
yeah,
one
yeah,
too.
Okay,
and these meals are.
I don't see why these can't operate in the same warehouse.
Well, this is the thing. It's cut by Cook and cooked by Cut, and Cutler's main genius in this cookbook series and ready to eat meals is that it's simple enough for even Dane Cook to understand how to make. So like he writes in a way that's like, boil that fucking beef, you know?
Boil like, it.
Yeah.
Boil
go,
it.
Go grab a handful of cabbage and throw it in the pot.
He's got his thumb in like, his, he's got his thumb in the, yeah. the
all, I ain't talking the, about no sous vide. I'm talking about fry that fucker, yeah. you know?
All the like chapters are like latently misogynist too, where sure. it's like, your girlfriend should be cooking this, but, you know, yeah, we gotta be doing
gotta
this.
Do
and you're
it.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm uncomfortable with this.
Yeah, but I am hungry, so.
So I'm gonna get this done the easiest way I know how, and that's to fry that fucking beef.
At the end of every page, it says, get her done.
Get her done.
Well, that's the other Joe the mechanic or whatever.
Larry the cable man.
Yeah.
Guy.
I like Joe the mechanic more.
He's fine.
I'm always going to call him.
Oh, Joe the plumber.
That was the
that was an actual man.
Yeah, that was an actual man. He was like a political pawn.
You know, my stepfather's only television role was he was a background actor on the Jeff Foxworthy show for one episode. He carried a box through the warehouse.
Was he a clown in that one?
No, that was his actual life.
Right.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
Okay. All right, sounds interesting, but...
That's for the real heads.
Wait, what were we talking about before?
We were talking about Drake.
No, we were talking about Dane Cook.
You
think they've ever met Dane Cook and Drake?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you gotta go to... They played College Towns and like... They're on the same circuit.
No, but Dane Cook was.
I'm just gonna look.
No, I think
to see if a picture exists.
Dane,
but go ahead.
I think that
he was Dane Cook was famous before Drake got famous. Because Dane Cook, well, no, because
I think they had a pretty similar meteoric rises together.
No, because
meteoric rise.
Mediocrity
is what ties them together.
Hey, I like Drake.
Oh, yeah, but the music's really boring.
No, it's good.
Hey, oh, but you know what I noticed? I've played some of this like sort of academic psychedelic music for you.
Yeah,
some of this, like, really
shout out Terry Riley.
Terry Riley and like John Cage and, you know, some trippier, heavier stuff. And I made a note last night while I was listening that like there is a really trippy element to this music.
100%.
It's very psychedelic, but what I took away from it was it sounds like I'm listening to some classic 70s psychedelic minimalist music while a friend of mine is complaining to me about a girl in the room. And I'm just trying to relax and like listen to this and trip out. But my friend's like, oh, this girl doesn't like me.
I'm drunk again.
I'm drunk. Why did you get me so drunk? This girl, oh my God damn it. I miss my mom. Like, you're like sitting there like, shut up. Like, so can you get his albums instrumentally?
I'm blocked by Dane Cook on Twitter.
Wait, are you kidding me?
Yeah, when did
Dane
that
Cook
happen?
Follows you on Twitter?
No, he blocked me.
He blocked
that's
you.
That's pretty amazing. Wow. So we're going to have trouble getting Cut by Cook
him. That's fine.
Let's edit around the part where we talked about Dane Cook. What the fuck?
Kane Duke.
Did you make fun of him?
I guess. Maybe he wants to lock us out of this Cut by
you know
Cook
what's really
action.
Weird? I got blocked by a guy on Instagram and then he died recently.
Oh, yeah?
So you're really blocked weird. Forever.
Well, it just was weird. I don't know what I said to offend him, but like, I think I made
you're
fun of him.
You're blocked. Our producer,
no,
Rob,
no,
is
no,
blocked.
No, no, you're
also
not blocked. His tweets are protected.
Oh. No, but I...
Yours actively
mine said
at yours
blocked.
Said blocked.
Wait, so this is interesting. Why are his tweets protected? He's got 2 million followers.
3.4
probably
because
he wants to be a little bit edgy. And you gotta
yeah, this is for the
well,
real.
Actually, he is
the
super edgy. The banner ad on his is a troublemaker.
Because he's actively blocked. Though. Yeah, mine's blocked, but none of us can see his tweets right now.
Yeah, we can't. And I'm not going to follow him. And
no, you should.
No.
How many?
All right, well, can I go through some of my notes?
Yeah, I was
going
to say, we should read some of Dan's. So Dan listened to Take Care for the first time yesterday, and while he did that, he took notes, and he sent them to me.
And maybe, but I didn't read them.
Yeah, and I forwarded them to Dan
and
Ozzie, but he didn't
read them. In the interest of full disclosure, I had just gotten back from Colorado.
You were on vacation.
On vacation, and I brought some chocolates home with me, the kind you can only buy in Colorado and Washington State.
Right.
Lately. So I was high as hell.
Was it like an Oreo or something?
Well, it was a chocolate bar called the Affogato by a brand called Incredibles. And it's
awesome.
Coffee flavored, vanilla and chocolate, THC infused chocolate bar.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You
so
two and your marijuana.
I got hanked up on THC before listening to this, which I think Drake would appreciate.
Are you going to read them all?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Should we have Dan do a reading of his notes?
It's a lot of notes. Right. You can scroll through and maybe like read some and
Wow, Jesus
no,
Christ.
Dan should read Dan's notes.
Ready?
This is Dan's live tweeting.
I basically live tweeted it.
This is softer than Enya. Is this made for dentist office? We went through that. What does headlines mean? Is this about him being famous? He talks about drinking a lot, but he never looks drunk or hungover. What is that about? Was this produced by the Postal Service? Do you mean the band, the Ben Gibbard band? Or
right.
The U.S.
Sound
Postal Service?
The bleep bloopy parts.
Yeah.
Ben Gibbard.
The fan base? Like everybody.
I bet Ben Gibbard's a listener.
Yeah, for sure.
Of this podcast or of Drake?
This podcast. Yeah.
Does this get a lot of play on adult contemporary stations?
That's
is
a serious
adult
question, though.
No.
Like,
at least as far as I know.
But it sounds like adult contemporary music. Why isn't it played like on Delilah?
Don't, come on. We can't.
That's nationwide.
No, but I mean, like,
you're going to get us sued.
Oh, I can say her tone.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
We don't know how it works.
We don't know how it works, but we...
It sounds like when you listen to Phil Collins and do Whippets. What does the crew he is in love with look like?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah, crew love.
They all look like him?
Nah.
It sounds way fucking better on Whippets.
Oh, yeah, I did a Whippet.
Yeah, I can tell. It's coming through. You were doing Whippets, Dan. This is just weird music. Is everyone super trippy these days? It's actually like I usually listen to lots of simple music while I am on drugs, and that makes it trip. But this sounds like music you are supposed to listen to sober to feel trippy.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Why does he need Rihanna to take care of him?
Well, that's when I started developing the mother thoughts.
I think there is a lot of Oedipus stuff going on. Who the fuck is friends with named Marvin? That's
a
good point.
Who's
I don't
a friend
know
named Marvin? And Marvin's Room is like the most boring track on the album.
That song's so good.
But it's so boring. I was Marvin's Room sounds very like a very boring place to hang out.
And then you have a quote here from a song. I think I'm addicted to naked bitches. And you wrote, cool thought, bro. Really original.
Oh, got him. Shots fired.
Well.
Marvin's Room is a super boring place to hang out. Okay, he's drunk again. Poor baby. Why does he complain about being drunk? Isn't that the point of getting to drunk? Why doesn't he just not drink? I'm getting to be positive and open-minded, but this is so boring. More trip sounds. There are whole albums of trippy sounds that aren't interrupted by nasally whining. It sounds like listening to Terry Riley.
I've said this already.
Okay. Kendrick is talking about The Matrix, and that kind of makes sense. Do people think The Matrix is a cool movie like this? That would make sense.
I think The Matrix is a good movie.
And you like the Drake.
And I like Drake.
Shouldn't Underground Kings be one word? Underground. I don't know. You're the Prank Kings.
I think Underground Kings.
Shout
is
out
like,
Prank Kings.
Shout out Prank Kings 2K.
Can we talk about Prank Kings?
Prank Kings
2K. Is a YouTube channel that Dan Meyer and his roommates have. Where they prank each other.
You did the 100 prank 100 day challenge. 100
pranks in 100 days.
But except that the pranks aren't very good. Like there's one
no, they're good.
Where he pranked his roommate by taking his door off the hinges and then he waited.
No, my roommate took my doors off.
Yeah, and
my
he,
door off
he,
my hinges.
And he waited for you to come home and open the door, except that you didn't come home that night.
Right.
So the video is just him waiting, and then he puts it back on the hinges.
Right.
That's not a prank.
No, it was. But no, it ended up me pranking him by not coming home. So that's how I got the prank stank off myself.
I just want to say, Annalise and Trey, who have been on the podcast, pranked Dan so good recently.
That wasn't even a good prank.
And
you
this
guys
is how he
prank.
Responded to it. He won't even take it. Yeah, go
ahead. No, because my name in prank universe is Solo Unprankable, which means I'm the only person that can't be pranked in the prank universe. And it's true because I don't have any prank stank on me. I've never been in the prank chamber. I'm Solo Unprankable.
That's not... But we pranked
no,
you.
No, but that's the thing is if you prank me, it's not a prank.
But you can't just claim yourself unprankable.
No, because what
that's
you
like the kid
up,
who you would be playing with, and he'd be like, "I have an invisibility.
You just don't understand the rules.
I'm invisible.
I'm on base. This is base. This chair is base. I'm on base.
Listen. You weren't even invited into Prank Universe. Okay, you don't know the rules of Prank Universe.
Yeah, that's what pranks are. You go into somebody's universe.
No, but Prank Universe is a thing.
You don't know what you're talking.
I invented it. I'm God.
I don't want to read the rest of these.
They were good, though. They're good notes.
I'm scrolling through. There's like five more scrolls. I'm not reading.
Okay. Maybe the good ones go because you are not good. It's a pretty mellow listen overall. I wouldn't even listen to it loudly. I wouldn't ever listen to it loudly and attentively again because that makes it really demented. I think it's supposed to be background. Look what you've done. Another thing a mom would say to her kid. He's trying to imagine what it's like to be a father. He's treating his love interests like children and then fearing their abandonment because he knows it's the child's nature to abandon. And I said, whoa, his grandma's actually on this. I'm just realizing the obvious here. This whole album is about moms. I started doing other things during practice and that was nice background music. I tuned out after the grandmother message. But that's the end of the album.
That's
right?
The end of the album.
But I listened to the deluxe edition.
No. There's a few more songs after What You've Done.
I heard that, and then I was just kind of like
practice.
Then I started doing emails and writing.
I wish I could fucking come on this episode.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm just letting you know my experience with Drake as a first time.
Well,
listener.
Is there anything we've been talking about him for like more than a full day, really?
Is there
anything that's fucked up?
I mean, you
probably were able to say that you've talked about Drake cumulatively for more than a day of your life.
Yeah, 100%.
I hadn't until
100%.
This podcast. Is there anything about Drake that you want to know, considering we're like kind of unprofessional amateur experts at this point? Amateur Drake historians?
I mean, I feel like I learned a lot and... I guess the one thing I do want to know is it seems like a lot of why do people like he's such a misogynist. It's really clear. Like, and I wish there was maybe a woman here to talk to about this, but like, why is he so embraced and loved by women when I haven't heard shit like this since the 60s, I feel like with like this abusive, controlling behavior and calling women bitches and like wanting to control them and not liking them. And it's like the main takeaway I get is like, you are my possession. I want you to be the thing for me. Like, I don't want you going out and hanging out with girls I don't know and drinking champagne if I'm not around. Like, you should be here for me always. Like, it's very kind of a pathetic like thing. And why is it that so many women like him when he's saying all this stuff?
It's
kind of crazy.
For one of our episodes, we were going to have someone on Broadway, which is Vice's women's interest site, feminist positive site, named Gabby. We were trying to have her on, and it kept getting bumped and bumped, and it ended up not happening. But she, you know, works for a feminist website and is a great writer, and she is such a huge fan, and apparently she has, like, a salamander named after Drake or, like, a chameleon named after Drake.
Yeah, I just wonder. It's something maybe we'd talk to someone about.
Yeah, I don't know
time.
If we're the ones to say that, but, I mean, it's a very good question, and I think it's something that people wonder, and I think it's something that's been talked about more in the last like year or 2 years, especially with his album Views, which was kind of divisive critically, but people have started to talk about that more. And right. I think that, like, I mean, it's...
He's no Dane Cook level.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes latent misogyny is more dangerous than overt.
That's a good point. I mean, I think that... I mean, I think he something also to keep in mind is that he's operating within a genre that is also traditionally extremely misogynistic. Sure. And
but that's no excuse, certainly.
No. I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm
and
just
I guess
saying.
If you really
I'm just
think of like if you take his genre all the way to like Yin Yang Twins, like he's actually like a saint compared
to the Whisper
like,
song.
Yeah.
Whew. That song made me. I remember hearing that song when I was like 18 or whatever,
and you're like,
you know, I was like uncomfortable,
scandalized. Within the genre of pop music, misogyny's always been a mess.
Yeah, it's like it's like humanity. Maybe,
yeah. But you know, what's funny is like sometimes you will see celebrities who are like really kind of clean and in their persona, but then like you hear that they're shitty in person.
Right.
I for some reason want to think that like Drake is shitty in his songs, but that he's somehow like actually more kind in real life.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back into the drinking and alcohol and weed thing, where like maybe he like talks about this stuff but doesn't actually do it. Because you can kind of, I mean, this. I think the whole saying, like, don't judge a book by its cover is kind of bullshit. Like, you can look at the guy and tell that he's probably, like, a sweet man, probably a good partner.
Well, I still say that, like, he
and then
has...
maybe he's doing an act.
It's amazing that he has endured this long in the very public eye with no major scandals, unless there's any that we gloss over. But, like... You know, like
he doesn't seem like a scandalous person. He just seems kind of boring.
Mm.
Like all that's why he's seen so much success.
All
though.
The
I mean,
stuff
right?
that's coming out with like Harry Weinstein.
So you can just say Weinstein. Rapist.
Weinstein.
The rapist.
It's this type of thing where everybody is like, oh yeah, well here was Courtney Love talking about it 5 years ago. Here was like this actress talking about it like 3 years ago. Here,
it's
you know,
an
it's
open
like
open secret.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like if something happened with Drake. Would there be a lot of stuff where we're like, oh, well, this person was talking about how shitty Drake was? Like, I think he has a fairly clean rep.
I mean,
he's like Derek Jeter.
As far as like comparing him to a sexual predator, I think his rep is probably.
I don't
probably,
think he has any reputation. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know anything
but there's
about
been,
him.
But there is a lot of great writing. On the internet that you should check, that listeners should check out, that is about this subject, that is by like very qualified and
woke.
And I mean, but like in a good way woke, but just like really great women writers who have tackled these subjects, that it's very complicated because of the genre of the history of like humanity. and I think that it's a very good question and one to think about. And I think that Drake kind of he's definitely gotten by, and we've talked about this a lot on the pod, but like how he's gotten by being like relatable. He's like he is like me, he is you, he is like the millennial like existence. And so because he's like relatable and he makes this music that is like considered soft and sensitive, it's like kind of almost forgiven in this weird way. And I think that that's not forgiven, but just like it isn't challenged maybe in the way if it was maybe more overt or like it's kind of like back. It's like self-deprecating,
like
you know?
Beck?
No, like yeah, backhanded. Backhanded is what I was going to say, but I didn't want to quite make that statement. But like it's like self-deprecating, and so he's trying to like but and so he frames this like kind these kind of like weird lines about
maybe he's being
women.
Critical of the thing like by presenting a certain persona, he's actually kind of criticizing it.
No, I don't think it's that sophisticated. No. I think that it's just that he presents it in a way that is kind of self-aware, where it's like, if I call myself shitty, and then I can get away with doing
but
this.
I hate that.
No, totally. Absolutely. But I think that that's...
Like, oh, you're so stupid, but you keep doing it.
Yeah,
there's
it's
no
a,
excuse.
It's like how...
Just change your behavior.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I think we could get another month out of this.
Well, we gotta get like a real psychoanalyst going on. You gotta get like because if you got a bunch of idiots like me on this podcast, I don't imagine
it's
anyone learned
what
anything
we did for the last month.
Like, did you get any like actual like people who understand anthropology and the history of music? Like,
We had.
I mean, you guys.
We had a guy who hung out with him for 2 hours one time.
Okay.
We had.
Who was that? Dylan Coburn.
Dylan Coburn.
I'm not going to say anything negative about him. Yeah, I like him.
So this is how it ends.
Yeah, this is it.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
Well, hold on.
It was
you
good.
Can follow Dan on Twitter. Leave? I mean, not Twitter. No,
you can leave.
Instagram.
I don't want to leave. I thought you were.
We're wrapping up, but
goodbye.
This is like a big month. You know, this is a big moment for us. Like, we've been doing this for a month.
Well, I know, and thank you for making me the most important part of it.
Well,
and having me as your finale, because I know that like it was probably hard to wait.
Waiting is the hardest part.
And I really appreciate, like, I know you guys wanted to have me on for every episode.
Yeah.
But you knew I just didn't have time for that.
Yeah, you had
so, like, I appreciate you just bringing me for the finale because you knew I'm going to be the best.
Yeah.
The grand finale.
Grand finale.
When you're watching the fireworks and that last one's just that huge explosion in the sky. That's Dan Meyer. Well, I also want to thank.
Yeah, we got a list. We got to do our, like, our run of thanks now.
Shout-outs.
Our shout-outs. Our producer, who's had to sit and listen to this like every day.
He's nodding.
Rob Schulte. Is that right? Schulte.
Rob Schulte.
I thought I was going to forget his last name.
That's so insulting that you've been working with him for a month and you don't remember his
name.
Well,
you know
why? We know his last name. We just didn't know how to pronounce it for sure.
You never asked
until today? You know when you see somebody's name on email all the time and you're like, oh, yeah, I got that, but you only know it visually? I'm like,
that's,
oh, shit, I've never said it out
that's
loud.
Some kind of disorder. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
know.
Everybody has Dan Meyer. That's easy. Yeah. Rob Schulte.
Rob Schulte. Rob's work is on robschulte.com.
Rob K. Schulte.
RobKSchulte.com. He's a great producer. If you make podcasts, contact him.
Yeah.
Do you edit this too? Nice.
Yeah.
He's had to listen
these.
To all of these. Think about what hell that is. I also want to give a shout out to our intern Marina Koslock, who was standing in when Rob wasn't here, and she did a great job, and she rules. And I'm sorry, I just called her Maria by accident. Clearly, I'm at the end of a long
month. Ozzie's bad at names.
Yeah,
no, he's been pretty good.
I've been pretty good. I just at the end of a month.
The podcast producer here at Vice, Sophie Casis, she's been great. Shout out to all of our guests.
Rembert.
We had a lot. Yeah, Rembert, Heems, Brittany Spanos.
Brittany Spanos was great.
Trey Smith.
Annalise Domenichini.
Yeah.
How did I not fuck that one up?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Leslie Horn.
Lawrence Burney.
Lawrence Burney.
Colin Joyce.
Yeah, Colin Joyce, Drew Millard, Austin Walker.
Drake.
No, Drake. Drake.
Hillary Drake. Pollack.
Hillary Pollack.
Pilot Virouette, Larry Fitzmaurice.
Mm-hmm.
I think I fucked that up too. I think it's Fitzmaurice.
Well, he won't care.
And to you, Eric, I want to say thank you to you.
Well, thank
Eric.
Thank you to you, Dan.
And I want to say
our ID guests.
Our ID guests. Andre and Hannah.
Yeah, Andre and Hannah.
So,
who else?
Man. We've done a lot of episodes. We talked about Drake.
In case this is
for some reason the
Jonah Bayer. God damn it.
John Smythe. It's Smith, Eric, actually.
God damn it.
In case this is your...
Isabella Herrera.
Oh, yeah. She
that was a great episode.
In case this is your first... For some reason, in case you started at the end... We talked about...
Ernest Wilkins.
We talked about Drake. Oh, Ernest is awesome, too.
Ernest
talks about Drake's
Our intern, Tiffany Wines.
Tiffany Wines. We talked about Drake's Instagram. We talked about Drake memes. We talked about Drake...
Rob McRae.
Rob.
He was on a couple episodes.
Drake's birthday, what Drake's Saturdays are like, what Drake's Sundays are like, Drake's clothes. We talked about Drake's... Is Drake good at sports? Krishna Andovolo talked about Drake's weed habits.
Gamer Drake.
Yeah, that was Austin. We talked about Gamer Drake.
I think we got them all. Shout out to CL for letting us do this.
I don't think she actually wanted us to do it, but we
but did
it did. Anyway.
Who else? Shout out to Noisy. Shout out to Noisy for being a great place that allows us to do things like this.
Well, shout out also to our listeners.
Yes.
We're wonderful. And maybe write in if you want to hear that Dane Cook podcast. Because guess what, buddies? We'll do it.
Cut by Cook.
Dane Decembers.
The email address is shane at vice.com.
Yeah, just subject line, cut by Cook.
Cut by Cook or podcast idea.
Podcast idea directed to Dane Meyer.
No, just say Eric Sunderman gave me this email address. shane at vice.com.
Shout out to Shane. Shout out to Spike Jones.
Spike, who didn't come on the
podcast. Well, we would have asked him. He would have.
Shout out to Deez and Miro, so who didn't come on the podcast.
Yeah, Deez and Miro said they were going to.
I guess you're not going to use any of that.
Deez and Miro said they were going to, but then they didn't.
Don't talk trash. You're going to give him trouble.
How much of this do we have to cut? Probably a lot.
Probably a lot.
Cut.
We should have Dane Cook edit something, because that's, you know, when they call editing, you're cutting it.
Yeah.
So if he edited his own commercials, the commercials for Cut by Cook would be Cut by
Cook.
He's
probably
a crazy editor.
Rob, I don't want to step on your toes here, but Dane Cook might have a second career as a podcast editor. That's Cut by Cook.
Cut by Cook.
What a great place to end a month of Drake is just on a Dane Cook reference that you idiots made up in a backyard.
It was funny.
So thank you if you've been with us for this entire weird month of October.
You're welcome for having me on.
Dan, not you. I'm talking to the listeners right now.
I was just welcoming you because I knew you weren't going to thank me.
Oh, and thanks to Dan Meyer, our final guest.
The vice equipment manager.
Not the one we planned, but dance with the one who brought you to the dance.
And you know what? You know what? You know who I want to say thank you to? I want to say thank you to Drake.
Yeah, I guess.
For giving us a kaleidoscopic personality. That is diverse enough to talk about every day for a month.
Exactly.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This has been October's Very Own by Noisy. Well, thanks for listening.
Shout out to for just asking me for a number for mushrooms over text message.
Please stop. We have to cut this
shout
out.
Shout out
we have this has to all be cut out now.
She goes, are you at cool. Basically, told me that has a number for mushrooms, and she wanted me to ask him, but I wasn't sure if would be weirded out. So, can you ask him for me?
Okay. Since Rob has to cut all this, I'm gonna start a fresh ending here.